Today's scripture is Hebrews chapter 12, verse 14.
히브리서 12장 14절 말씀입니다.
Pursue peace with all men and the sanctification without which no one will see the Lord. Amen.
Today's sermon title is Peace. This message is based on Senior Pastor's sermon entitled Peace, preached at 2015 Pastor's Devotional Service, and another message entitled Pursue Peace and Sanctification, which was preached in 2001. Dear brothers and sisters, the dictionary defines peace as being joyful and comfortable in heart and being in mutual harmony between people or group. But in a spiritual sense, peace refers to a generous and beautiful heart by which one can love all people. Father God wants all of us to be in peace. He doesn't want us to have even a bit of discord or have trivial disputes with our ill feelings. He desires us to be at peace, not just outwardly, but truly in heart. Non-believers say, I keep away from excrements because it's foul, not because it's fearful. It implies that it's best not to argue with a person who uses coarse language and who is hard to communicate with. It advises us not to deal with such people for fear that you might be offended. Yet, this kind of peace is not of true goodness. There still remains ill feelings inside, and with such a heart, you can break peace anytime once you get a chance to subdue another person by force. Therefore, we have to love and comfort each other and humble ourselves with mutual respect, thereby keeping peace with all men. From now on, let me present ways to keep peace with others. In order to keep peace with others, first, we should be careful with our words. We see a tiny seed of fire leads to a huge fire. Many times, forest fires are caused by abandoned cigarettes, burning garbage, or someone's playing with fire. Such trivial things lead to immense property damage and casualties. In a short span of time, a great amount of trees on the best area turns into ashes. The Bible tells us that words of our lips may be the cause of a big wrath and warns us against them. James chapter 3 verses 5 through 6 say, So also the tongue is a small part of the body, and yet it boasts of great things. See how great a force is set aflame by such a small fire, and the tongue is a fire, and the very world of iniquity. The tongue is set among our members as that which defiles the entire body and sets on the fire the course of our life and is set on fire by hell. Just as said in the verses, you should know how easily peace can be broken by words of our lips. Especially, words spoken out of resentment or complaints carry ill feelings, providing the grounds for Satan's work. Spiritually speaking, there is much difference between merely holding complaints and resentment within your heart and actually letting out those feelings through words or actions. Figuratively speaking, there is a distinct difference between keeping a bottle of black ink in your pocket and opening its cover and spraying it over. Once you spray the black ink, it splatters on people around you as well as on yourself. The same goes for words of resentment and complaints. Once you say it outwardly, it affects those who hear as well as yourself. From now on, let me give you detailed reasons why we should be careful with words. First, we may lose rewards piled up in heaven because of our words. Such was the case of Martha, who was presented in Luke chapter 10. She was busy serving Jesus, who was visiting her house. Yet, her sister, Mary, only listened to Jesus' words seated at his feet, not helping her at all. Martha began to feel uncomfortable about this and ended up letting out such ill feelings in her words to Jesus. She said in Luke chapter 10, verse 40, Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to do all the serving alone? Then tell her to help me. Jesus then replied in the following verses 41 and 42, Martha, Martha, you are worried and bothered about so many things, but only one thing is necessary, for Mary has chosen the good part, which shall not be taken away from her. Martha's outward deed appeared to be piling up goodness, but it wasn't done out of goodness in Father God's sight. So she lost her rewards in heaven. The same goes in our life of faith. Just because someone takes on seemingly important and significant duties and devotes much of his time and money, we can't say he is spiritually faithful. Even though he zealously volunteers and works for God, he may lose his rewards by speaking negative words. For our deeds to be piled up as rewards in heaven, our hearts should carry God-pleasing aroma. If Martha had worked happily and joyfully without complaining and grumbling, God would have accepted her aroma of heart more joyfully than he received that of Mary. If Martha had offered up good confession, saying, "I'm so grateful that my sister can hear his precious words in place of me. Later, I will ask her to share the grace," God would have wanted to bless her, and she would have been looked so lovable to his eyes. Let's say children throw a party in celebration of their parents' 60th birthday. In the middle of the party, if they quarrel over a trivial matter, how would the parent be happy? Even though they lavishly prepared a fancy birthday party, if they let such a quarreling happen, it would be better not to have such a party in the first place. The same goes with our doing God's work. Even while we faithfully work for God to please Father God's heart, if we quarrel and hurt each other's feelings with disagreements, God cannot accept our work joyfully. If we truly want to bring joy to the Father's heart, we ought to keep peace among family members as well as fellow brothers and sisters in Christ and serve one another. The second reason we should be careful with our words is our words have power to save or destroy a person. Words of a man with a social status can either benefit the society he belongs to or evoke great trouble in the society. We can greatly benefit from fire if we make good use of it, but if used in a wrong way, it brings a substantial damage. Likewise, our words possess such tremendous power. Thus, we should prevent ourselves from suffering damage because of our words. It is the same in the church. When a church leader looks after other fellow members or gives counseling for them, he has to encourage and give them hope according to their measure of faith. They shouldn't offend them with judging or condemning words. In some cases, however, a church leader reproaches those whose faith is not strong enough, thereby causing them to stumble. He hurts their feelings by pointing out their faults in the presence of many people. He makes their faults or shortcomings known to a multitude of individuals. Being in a position to teach others, he imposes his own self-righteousness and frameworks and even takes away their desire to work for the Lord. There are also cases when a church leader forces other church members to obey his will without taking into account their circumstances, consequently giving them a hard time. If someone doesn't obey him, he bluntly treats them with a cold look. Overcome by his own feelings, he reproaches the person out of anger. Even when someone feels troubled and bothered because of himself, rather than looking back on himself, he passes judgment on him. What does Father God say to people of this kind? Luke chapter 17, verse 2 says, "It would be better for him if a millstone were hung around his neck and he was thrown into the sea than that he would cause one of these little ones to stumble." Keeping in mind that God considers a single soul more precious than the world, when you deal with or take care of your fellow church members, you have to be cautious as if you handled fragile glasses and be watchful of your words. It's the same in your family. Your words may break peace in the family and hurt others' feelings. In this regard, I'd like to ask parents to examine how they treat their children. Some parents compare their children to a next-door kid. They reprimand them, saying, "Why can't you study well like him? I was an excellent student back in school. But how come you are getting such bad grades?" Such words may cause their child to become rebellious, lose interest in studies, blame himself with dejection, thinking, I'm such an impossible person. Also, if they make their child embarrassed by rebuking him for their mistake, it can make him defiant. For example, when a child repeatedly loses belongings, some parents tell them off, look what happened. I knew this would happen again. There are also cases parents unknowingly speak negative words to their children. For example, they say, stop running around or you will fall. If you eat quickly, you will suffer from indigestion. If such a thing does happen later, they justify themselves saying, look, I told you. Yet, if they were more considerate of their child, they would kindly say, why don't you make sure your shoelaces are tied up? Or, how about drinking some water so that you can digest better? Speaking in such a manner causes their child to feel their concern and affection for them. In educating their child in faith, other parents warn them in a frightening way, you will go to hell if you behave like that, thus making them feel fearful towards God. But instead of such frightening words, it's important that you encourage them saying, why don't we pile up good deeds from now on? We can make it. Likewise, our words have invisible power. It can either save another person, bringing a better outcome, or destroy that person, resulting in a more miserable outcome. In the historical drama, The King Sejong, we find how King Sejong encouraged his scholars. Back in the Joseon Dynasty, the scholars were the only hope who could bring forth positive reforms and transformation upon the nation. But they faced a dire reality. Greatly disappointed by the prince, the future of the nation, who had no regard for the well-being of its people, they wanted to give up on everything and leave. Falling into great despair, they were about to finish their studies, resented the country, and blamed themselves. But King Sejong met them in person and gave words for them to overcome the adversity and hardship. He said, I know you still have a lingering attachment to this country. Yes, you are free to speak ill of this country, but it doesn't mean you are free to feel discouraged. We've done so little for us to have any dejection. We are qualified to be dejected only after we've worked with all our might and exerted all our effort toward a goal, but ended up failing and being crushed and broken. But it apparently seems that you have more to be broken and you have more strength to try. So let's get back up. He provided strength to those scholars who had fallen into despair so that they could get back up and focus back on their work. And King Sejong provided a chance for them to follow and realize their dreams. With those scholars, he reorganized a research institute named the Hall of Verdes. This institute served as a think tank that provided the king with consulting on political and academic matters. As the king's closest aides, the scholars helped the king complete the national system. Also, it published a number of books that served as the basis in governing the country. Among their achievements, they made great contribution in the making of Hangul, the Korean alphabet. Here, we can realize how much of an impact a word has in our accomplishing the kingdom of God and what impact it has on the outcome. In the Bible, during the Exodus, when Moses chose 12 spies to spy out the land, their confession of lips brought different results. After they came back from spying out the land of Canaan, they made different kinds of confession. Except for Joshua and Caleb, the 10 other spies confessed in Numbers chapter 13, verses 32 through 33, the land through which we have gone in spying it out is a land that devours its inhabitants, and all the people whom we saw in it are men of great size. There also we saw the Nephilim, and we became like grasshoppers in our own sight, and so we were in their sight. Such a negative report led the people to feel frustrated and depressed, and then lament, complain against, and resent Moses. On the other hand, Joshua and Caleb said in Numbers chapter 14, verses 7 through 9, "The land which we passed through to spy out is an exceedingly good land. If the Lord is pleased with us, then He will bring us into this land and give it to us, a land which flows with milk and honey. Only do not rebel against the Lord, and do not fear the people of the land, for they will be our prey. Their protection has been removed from them, and the Lord is with us. Do not fear them." Relying on the word of God, Joshua and Caleb didn't look at the reality, but only anticipated the result with eyes of faith. Rather than their own thoughts and capabilities, they solely relied on the word. Although the 12 spies looked at the same land which God promised to Israelites, their confessions differed. While the 10 spies saw the physical reality, Joshua and Caleb looked forward to the result with eyes of faith, relying on the word of God. Then, what attitudes should we have with the words of our lips? We should realize how prudent we should be in speaking and hearing words. Also, it is important that we don't get swayed by groundless rumors, but have the ability to discern. We see a lot of people quick to judge and conclude without attempts to ascertain its background or situation. They develop misconceptions and mistakenly pass judgment and condemnation on others. Not able to have complete understanding of a situation by hearing from one side, we have to make sure to hear from the other side as well. We shouldn't let anyone suffer unfairly. By thinking twice or three times before we speak, we should let there be no mistakes. Depending on a person's thoughts and mind, the words of his lips differ. To the extent one's heart is good and perfect, there's no mistake in his words. Wise people can tell when to say something or not, and they can adjust themselves to others' heart. They may refer to what they hear about a person, but they are not quick to pass judgment based on that. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 29 says, "Let no unwholesome word proceed from your mouth, but only such a word as is good for edification according to the need of the moment, so that it will give grace to those who hear. Therefore, I hope you will be cautious of your words and only see, hear, and speak what is good." When Joshua and Caleb's words were found holy, and they were united with God in heart and will, they received great blessing as a consequence. So, we, as believers of Father God, have to ensure our words and deeds are blameless and perfect before God, thereby receiving answers and blessings in every affair of our lives. In order to keep peace with others, second, we have to seek others' benefit. Those who don't seek others' benefit, but only insist on his own self-righteousness, break peace, not able to embrace others. Senior pastor once said during his sermon that whenever a couple comes to receive his prayer right before their marriage, he prays as follows. Let them be a spiritually beautiful couple. Let them humble themselves and not seek their own benefit so that they may make a beautiful spiritual family. He prays for them this way because only when a husband and a wife seek each other's benefit, humbling themselves, can they truly make a true peaceful family. Let me give an example. A husband always wants his house to be clean and organized, while his wife is not an organized person. At first, the husband is patient with her and cleanses the house instead of his wife. But as this happens repeatedly, he begins to get annoyed. He begins to think her wife wasn't educated well at home and grows impatient about her not being as organized. He is upset about his wife not changing her habits despite his continuous exhortation. Of course, his wife has something to say on her part. Should I be a cleaning robot? Why doesn't he clean the house instead of me when I can't? Why is he being so narrow-minded and complaining about this all the time? Not only should I clean the house, but I have to prepare meals and take care of children. He's always nagging me. Before, he loved me so much that he would do everything for me. But now he complains over such trivial matters, and now even attributes this to my parents. Likewise, if people only insist on their opinion, they can't keep peace. They can't keep peace. Only when you put yourself in other shoes and serve them can you keep peace. What would they think if they put themselves in each other's shoes? The wife would think, he's been working hard all day, so I have to let him feel relaxed at home. I have to prepare sumptuous dinner for him and clean up the house so that he may rest comfortably at home. And the husband would think, it's challenging for her to do all the housework by herself. I'll help her out. Is there something I can do for her? With such thoughts, he would try to consider her situation. While his wife is preparing a meal, he would look after their children or do some house chores for her. Like this, if a couple seeks each other's benefit, they can keep peace in the family. Also, I heard of a sister's testimony. She recently began to share a room with another sister who wasn't that organized. In the morning, she scattered her blow dryer, comb, and her makeup all over the floor. There was a reason for that, because she came back home late from her workplace. She lacked enough sleep. Waking up late in the morning, she hurriedly left for work, not able to find time to clean and place things back in order. Even so, this sister was upset about her roommate, thinking, why doesn't she wake up a bit earlier? Why does she turn our room into a mess? She met her guidance pastor for counseling. Her guidance pastor advised that she should exhort her with love and also told her that even if she doesn't change her deeds, she just can clean up the room for her, making it a chance to pile up goodness. And then she would be changed by her good deeds and try to fix her bad habits. Yet this sister failed to do according to what she was advised. She continually thought her roommate's behavior was obviously not goodness, and she had to fix that bad habit on her part. She only considered her as an inadaptable, obstinate person. Then, one day, she had a huge awakening. Having a thick and long hair, she had a lot of hair fall out on a daily basis. When she lived with her parents, she used to be scolded a lot for her hair scattered over the floor, despite her effort to remove them. Living with her roommate, this issue still remained. One day, coming back home, however, she found her roommate getting rid of her hair fallen over the floor. Not looking troubled at all about it, she said with a sweet smile, "Seeing hair on the floor makes me feel I'm not alone but live with someone else." Hearing this, she was so embarrassed. She didn't realize that her roommate had happily cleared the room of the fallen hair without any complaints. While she herself felt uncomfortable and distressed for her habits, she, her roommate, hadn't complained even a bit about her deficiencies. She regretted that she didn't put herself in the shoes of her roommate, but only harbored ill feelings against her, thereby failing to keep true peace. Dear brothers and sisters, if you find yourself having ill feelings against someone and avoid confronting him because he remains unchanged, continually seeking his own benefit, you can keep perfect peace. Only when you understand the other person can you keep peace. Those who are opinionated and conflict with others don't realize that they are doing evil. They merely think they pursue what is good. I have a good plan. This can bring forth better results. So I insist on my opinion. But people who truly seek others' benefit never break peace. People break peace when they seek their own benefits, even while they try to pursue goodness on the outside. in a situation where either way is good, they adhere, stick to the way they want. They end up insisting on what looks more righteous to their eyes, looks more beneficial, and looks more comfortable for them. On the contrary, those who have goodness in heart can't dare to do evil. They choose what can make the other person more comfortable, choose what is more beneficial for him, and choose what benefits the kingdom of God more. Unless someone commits unrighteousness, they try to adjust themselves to him. I have another example. Let's say there are two employees named Jack and Steve. Jack is a competent and outstanding worker. He figures out what his seniors want and carries it out faithfully, while Steve is clumsy at his task. Whatever he does needs correcting of another person. When Jack looks at how Steve does, he is uncomfortable, thinking, why is he all thumbs? So he often had to Steve's text instead. And he thinks, because I work better than him, I'm just helping him. But the real purpose is that it's more convenient and faster for Jack to do things by himself rather than doing it together. So he's just doing as he pleases. Even so, Jack considers himself to be seeking others' benefit. But what would he do if he were a person who seeks others' benefit? He would encourage Steve to work better and unsparingly offer encouragement and compliments. Even though Steve is rather clumsy and slow in his work, he would help Steve to do his work on his own, thinking that it will be beneficial for the kingdom of God. He would try to figure out his heart, thinking how frustrated and upset Steve would feel about himself. Doing things in one's own benefit, always thinking in his own position, insisting only on his own opinion, not that of others, and imposing his ways on others without considering their level of faith. All these things provide causes to break peace. Rather than having a desire to be recognized with your work, you should do things united with others and be ready to follow the guidance of the Holy Spirit. Conversely, let's put ourselves in Steve's shoes. Steve has ill feelings towards Jack. Knowing that Jack is better at working and is smarter, Steve loses confidence and falls into negative thoughts. It seems that he is being ignored by Jack, so Steve thinks it would be better to back away so that another person can take on the job. He refuses to do any work, thinking it would be better not do anything. But how would Steve behave if he truly sought others' benefits? He would try to take after Jack's good aspects anyhow and be ready to learn from him. He would ask Jack to help whatever he discovers his deficiencies, thereby growing into a worker that can be of help to other people. Likewise, if you are able to seek others' benefits in all circumstances, you'll be able to keep peace no matter where you go. If you judge someone to be an evil man whom you can't communicate with and disregard him, this is evil. Dear brothers and sisters, I urge you to examine yourselves whether you can truly serve and embrace others and thereby keep peace with them. During this summer retreat, I shared a room with my fellow pastors who were advanced in years. Being youngest among them, I was appointed representative of the room. Yet, my roommates were so obedient and respectful towards me, I was happy and felt at home sharing room with them. Let me share how they touched my heart. While deciding where to lie down for sleep, most of them, without hesitation, refused to sleep on the bed, which is the most comfortable place. They chose to sleep on the couch or even on the floor. Even though I said, "I'll sleep on the floor. I want you to sleep on the bed," they all rejected that offer, saying, "We'd like to have a pretty one asleep on the bed." They let me sleep on the bed with joy. So I had no other choice but to sleep on the bed. Though embarrassed a little bit, I was happy. Not because I slept on the bed, but because I was touched by their thoughtful and kind words. Also, the deeds of Abraham, who sought others' benefits, were heartwarming. When Abraham left his country, his relatives, and his father's house, he was accompanied with his nephew Lot. When God blessed Abraham, Lot, who was with him, was blessed as well. But both of their possessions increased. They began to run out of water and glass, no longer to live together. Then what did Abraham say to Lot? Genesis, please let there be no strife between you and me, nor between my herdsmen and your herdsmen, for we are brothers. Is not the whole land before you? Please separate from me. If to the left, then I will go to the right, and if to the right, then I will go to the left. With such goodness and generosity, Abraham didn't have any trouble with anyone. Unless something goes against the truth, he was fine with either choice and had a heart to concede. He had a heart to choose what could please God's heart. If another person could take better things, it brought joy to his heart. Such an attitude of seeking others' benefit is possible only when you have no self. If you are respectful and considerate of others from the depth of your heart, you are able to keep peace with all men wherever you go. I hope you realize this and wholly keep peace with all men. Concluding the message, let me tell you a story of a family. The father in this family used to be strict with his children, speaking in a bossy and authoritative manner. After coming back home from work, he would do nothing but just lie down on the couch with a remote controller. He commanded his children to get some water and do other things for him. His children were offended by his behavior and sometimes defied him, saying, "Why don't you do it on your own?" And it would lead to a big quarrel. But a change occurred in this family. Senior pastor once stated that it's better for family members to call one another by their church titles, such as deaconess, senior deaconess, elder, or pastor, rather than mom or dad. In obedience to this word, her family members changed the way they called one another. Although it was awkward at first, their language turned to be respectful. Also, they began to be more considerate in their deeds. Changes came upon this family. The father, who would always order and command his children, began to serve other family members. One day, when his daughter was lying on a couch and said to herself, "I'm thirsty." Upon hearing this, he said, "Sister, did you just say you were thirsty?" And he got some water for her. Also, when his son said to himself, "It's a bit cold," he said, "Brother, are you cold?" He brought a blanket for him right away. For the first few days, it looked like he was overacting. His children confessed, because he just offered to do things for them even though he was not asked to do so. But now, his children confess, "Senior Pastor is so great. How great his power is to change people." But now, anyway, now they say they are happy at home, serving and respecting one another. I believe all of you have such a testimony. Before you live a Christian life here, some of you were about to divorce and peace was broken in your family, but after you met our precious shepherd, you have been healed and blessed, thereby accomplishing a happy family. So we have such many testimonies of blessing here in this church. Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, Hebrews chapter 12, verse 14 says, "Pursue peace with all men, and the sanctification without which no one will see the Lord." Earlier in this message, I mentioned that spiritual meaning of peace is a generous and beautiful heart by which one can love all people. I emphasize that in order to keep peace, first, we should be careful of our words, and second, we should seek others' benefit. How good it would be if you have those people around us, those who pile up rewards in heaven with good words and keep peace with all men by seeking others' benefit, rather than having people who only seek his own benefit, breaking peace with much evil. Among numerous children of God, Father God wants children who take after his image and give out the aroma of goodness. This week, we have Chuseok holidays. Not only should you just keep this message with you have to keep this message in the heart. I hope that you will be acknowledged as his true children who bring true comfort and joy to God and keep peace with all men, thus living close to the throne of God in heaven. Let's look back on this message and pray together.
첫 번째, 아버지는 입술의 말을 조심해야 한다 했고, 둘째로 상대의 유익을 구해주어야 한다 했습니다. 말씀이 살아 운동력이 있어 후념 및 관절 골수를 찔러 쪼개게 하여 주옵소서. 감사드리옵고 우리 주 예수 그리스도의 이름으로 기도하옵나이다.
영상을 통해서 당회장님의 환자 기도를 받으시겠습니다.
See, the pastor will pray for us. Please lay your hands on your sick part and on your chest and receive prayer with your heart's desires. Hallelujah, Almighty God, our loving Father, please lay your hands on all believers who are receiving this prayer now. Show your works that transcend this time and space on those who are receiving this prayer through GCN, Internet, and Satellite TV in branch churches and local sanctuaries, and all other children of God around the world. Give them faith to believe from heart. Drive away negative thoughts and doubts, and drive away all tests and trials. From head to toe, all entrails, joints, nerves, tissues, and cells, whatever the sick part may be, burn them with the fire of the Holy Spirit and the original light. In the name of Jesus Christ, I command the enemy, devil, and Satan, all diseases, germs, and viruses, and infirmities go away. Light come. Please scorch all their terminal and incurable diseases with the fire of the Holy Spirit. Drive away all endemic diseases, including malaria. All contagious diseases, including cold, flu, and fever, go away. Protect them from all kinds of germs and viruses. Heal them of all stomach, lung, liver, breast, uterine, and intestinal cancers, AIDS, leukemia, cerebral apoplexy, high and low blood pressure, diabetes, thyroid problem, and heart, lung, and women's diseases, and all inflammations go away. Heal them of polio, stroke, arthritis, and herniated discs, back pain, headache, neuralgia, and all other pains disappear. Epilepsy, autism, depression, neurosis, and other mental diseases go away. All kinds of paralysis be loosened. Get up, walk, and live. Let the eyes see well. Let the ears hear well. Let the blind come to see, the deaf hear, and the mute speak. Heal them of after effects of all kinds of accidents. Fix their broken bones. Restore them from burns. Let the heat and burning sensation go away. Be cleansed from all kinds of drug addictions, poisoning, and substance abuse. Let the dead nerves, tissues, and cells be regenerated. Bring the dead back to life. Give them the blessing of conception. Receive the blessing of conception. In the name of Jesus Christ, I command the enemy, devil, and Satan, the ruler of the power of the air, the evil forces of heavenly places, and their servants, go away. Go away. Evil, unclean, false, and deceitful spirit, separating spirit, and all forces of darkness, loosen the bonds of weaknesses. Darkness, go away. Light come. Father God, give them strength to cry out in prayer and the power to cast up sins and become sanctified. As their souls prosper, let all things go well with them and let their families be evangelized. Protect them from all kinds of accidents and disasters throughout this week and bless them to lead a prosperous life without any problems. With the fiery words of the Holy Spirit, heavenly hosts and angels, and with your blazing eyes, protect all your children, their families, workplaces, and business fields. Give students wisdom and understanding and give them enthusiasm and fervor to study hard. Please keep their hearts and minds from worldly things and let them love God more fervently. Whether your children eat or drink or in whatever they do, let them do it all to live a life glorifying Father God. Let them be able to testify about the living God, saying, I've met and experienced God and received His answers and blessings. Father God, thank you. Be glorified alone. In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, I pray, Amen.